Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Amazing how it just stays there. Huh? We're ready today. The daf is daf Tzadi Aleph, but we're ready today to start the new perek on daf Tzadi Yomid Beit at the bottom. And because of the fact that we haven't heard enough from our dear Kapitan today, why don't we have him start the proceedings with a marvelous... What a way to start a day. So, begins the perek Hamatznia. Okay, now what we seem to be doing over here, on the surface, is running over an idea that we had a long time ago. And, I mean, this is basically a review of the perek that we had before we got interrupted by the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva. So over there we were talking about, in Klal Gadol, we had our Klal that spoke about Hatzna'ah. And Hatzna'ah meant somebody sets aside something, puts it aside. So we said that that person, if he put it aside, it's considered to be, for him, Choshev, and therefore it's a shiur for him, for Hotzah. As to whether it's a shiur for anybody else, remember that we had as a machlokas, which we'll once again speak about over here, whether other people could be b'chuyev because of that. But here we're just going to like repeat the same idea, except that as we usually do, when we expand upon a mishnah that was said earlier, especially in a mishnah of klolim, we get into more detail. The problem is that it doesn't seem to add anything to detail. So earlier it said that eino kasher la'atznia, eino chayav ela hamatznia. Remember, if somebody sets it aside, puts it away, that person would be chayav, and when that turned out to be machlokas, maybe other people would be chayav. Now, all it seems to be adding over here in the Mishnah to the klal is that it mentions why he put it aside, which is a little bit ridiculous. Who cares why he put it aside? So over here, the Mishnah says, and that klal about matznia, if he was matznia, let's say, to plant it, so maybe he only took out one flower seed, right? See, other people would only be chayav five flower seeds, like Rabbi Yehuda. He sets aside one flower seed that he wants to put it. Or ledugma, so he's got samples. Or lerefuah, so if he needs a little bit of something for some type of magical cure. And then he's motzio b'shabbat, then he would be chayav anything at all, b'chol shehu, v'chol adam en chayav alav ela kishiuro. But other people would only be chayev if they took out the normal shiur. So that is like the Mishnah. Seems to be saying exactly what the Mishnah said before, vod klal omru, and that was that eno chayev ala matznia, right? Chozra v'yichli. So now we add another thing, which again, doesn't seem to really say very much. If he takes it back in, meaning he's changed his mind and he no longer is going to be using it for the purpose for which he had put it aside, and instead, he turns around and brings it back in from the Rishus Rabbim to the Rishus Hayochid in his house. Then he would not be chayev, because he no longer views it as being choshev, because he's no longer going to be matzniyat, and to him it's no different than anybody else. So then he would not be chayev. Asks the Gemara, Lomer le'lemitnei ha-matzniya. The point over here, one of the things that the Mishnah has added, I wish I could give over to you how beautifully it's constructed, because Tosfos doesn't even understand what's going on. He asked the Gemara, but we already read this. And the way I'm going to present it to you is the way that Rashi understands it, although unfortunately doesn't make himself clear. But it's absolutely brilliant. So what the Gemara asks now is, the very fact that what you added is the purpose of the Hatznah makes the Hatznah meaningless. Because what do I need? I understand. Didn't I say before that if I take something out for a particular purpose, so then obviously I'm chayev, because that for me is a malacha that's chashuvah. So what's the point of saying if I put it aside and then I take it out for that purpose? It's absurd. Just say, listenei hamotzi lezera v'ledugma v'lerefua chayev b'choshu. I mean, isn't that all that you're saying? So Abaye has a brilliant analysis. And he says like this, look, in the previous Mishnah, all that it says is that the man has set this aside. Now, what does that mean, he set it aside? All it means is that he's like most of us. You know, I don't know what the heck the screw is for, but I'm sure as soon as I throw it out, I'll find out, right? So you never know. I'll put it into my drawer. Okay, so he puts it into a drawer. Now he's got that screw. He has absolutely no idea why he needed that screw. Okay, so now if he takes out that screw, says the Mishnah before, so now he's chayev. Did he take out that screw for a particular reason? No, because then he wouldn't have needed to be matzniyah in the first place. He never knew what it was for. So now what happens is that this Shabbos, he decides he's going to move his stuff to the garage. Okay, so he takes out this screw from a drawer, moves it to the garage. The chiddush in the Mishnah before is that since it was set aside, it's choshev, even though he is not taking it out to use, you see? This Mishnah messes the whole thing up, because by giving us a reason, it now obviates the need to discuss the Hatzna'ah Bichlal. So what's the point? That's what the Gemara is asking, and that's what Abaye is coming to say. Oho, the point over here is that he was not a collector who put a screw aside because who knows? He had a particular purpose. I'm keeping this screw to fix my vacuum cleaner. Now, comes along Shabbos. He picks up the screw and he takes it out. And as often happens, as he's taking it out, he says, wait, what the heck did I put this aside for? I don't remember. Okay. So now he's going out. He says, I'm probably when I get there, I'll remember. Okay. But he doesn't remember. So he's saying, all right, I'm going to take it out for whatever. So hashta kamufik le stoma. So now he's taking it out without having any idea, hoping he's going to remember when he gets to the kitchen what he's doing with this cup in his hand. Okay. Another senior moment. So what's the halacha over there? The Mishnah is coming to tell me that even though he had a specific purpose in mind and now no longer knows the purpose, you would have thought that that was mevatel, the hatzna'ah, because the hotzah is not coming for a particular purpose any longer. And he was not matznia for general purposes. So therefore, ma detema betule batla machshavto. You might have thought that that would have meant that his initial machshava was completely batal. Therefore, comes along the Mishnah to say there's another psychological element at work over here. And that is that even when a person is going through a senior moment, he believes that there's some purpose in what he's doing. So he has in mind, look, I don't know, but I'll probably remember. So that means that kola osa al dat arishona osa. He relies on the fact that he had something in mind. That's a tremendous chiddush in terms of a malacha, which has to be a malachas machshemes, right? Because now the guy, he really doesn't know what he's doing. But he is definitely doing it for a purpose. It's just the purpose no longer, he can't remember it. So it escapes him. Okay. That is the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even where the Hatzna was for a particular purpose, then there's still meaning in the Hatzna when he does it, where you would think that there wouldn't be. Because either he is taking it out for that purpose, in which case he doesn't need a Hatzna, or he doesn't know the purpose, in which case Hatzna doesn't mean anything. It's brilliant. So this is the way Rashi understands it. So Tosfos thinks that the Gemara is simply expanding by telling us this idea, that Hatzna would be a filo al das rishayna. So he asks, well, I mean, so then what was the purpose of mentioning Hatzna before? It must be for the purpose of the same thing that this Mishnah says. So then we already know that. So what do we need two examples of Hatzna? This is absolutely marvelous. Because of this difference in how to understand the Gemara, or because of Tosfos' misunderstanding, which is I don't understand the Gemara, the next piece is also learned differently by Tosfos and by Rashi. So here is the question. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel says, Mechayev haya Rabbi Meir, af mootzi chita achat lezriya. Look, Rabbi Meir said, even if you take out a single wheat seed, you would still be chayev. Says Gemara, well, obviously. I mean, didn't it say that if you're motzi lezriya, then it would be kol shehu? That's what it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, kol shehu. And we've already established that the Hatzna is not the important issue. The purpose is the important issue. So obviously the Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah is saying that you would be chayev for anything, no? Well, all I'm clarifying is that you see, Mao de Tema Kolshu, the word Kolshu doesn't always mean literally Kolshu. The word Kolshu means even less than we would normally think is meaningful. That's the point. So maybe it means you need some kind of shear. So it means less La Fukimi Grogeret. You don't need the Grogeret, but you certainly need some type of Choshev Ashir. Otherwise, it's Bakshava, which is Bibato. So therefore, you think you would need a Kezayit. Kamash Malan, that no, even Kolshu literally. Now, Rashi understands that the Gemara now is going back to Abaye. Abaye was the one who explained what this Mishnah of Hamatznia for a particular purpose is adding to the previous Mishnah of the Klal in which the Matznia is Chayav. Rashi learns that the Gemara is now attacking the Svara of Abaye, who is willing to say that if a person was motzi, even though he doesn't know why he's motzi, but we are defining the hotzah in terms of a predefined sense of what it is that this would be meaningful to me as, then we have the following problem. Because then what you're saying is that it is not really the hotzah qua hotzah that is chayev, because I really don't know what the hotzah is for. What you're saying is that my mind can set up a situation in which a thing is chashev. Then the question of whether I have that purpose in mind is irrelevant. That means that you're defining the actual act of hotzah by the definition of what was important to you. You understand the difference? Normally, the malachas machshevas is that you're defining the malacha. But over here, you're not defining the malacha, as Rashi explained it. All that you're doing is you're defining chashivut, which has nothing to do with the malacha. Once the malacha says a person who is motzi something that is chashev on Shabbos is chayev, we now look back on our computer, what is chashev? Whoops, here we have a determination of this mind as to what is chashev, right? In which case, says Rashi, you are relying on his mind to define what will later be defined as hotzah by the malacha. Now, if that's the case, think about the opposite case. Suppose a guy wants to move homes. So he's loading up a whole truck to move his home, forgetting that it's Shabbos. What happens is that he gets completely confused and forgot to do the laundry room. You think that's completely confused? I can't tell you how many times these things happen, but okay. He's going to have to go back and get the laundry room. Now, if he moves the house without the laundry room, according to what Abaye is saying, he should be potter. Because since we're not talking about Malachas Bachshevas in the normal sense, we're talking about the Malach of Otsah is defined by what it was that this person set aside as being meaningful. To him, the meaningful was a van that contains my home, everything that's in it. I wouldn't have wanted to leave if I didn't have everything. In which case, he did not do Hotzah on Shabbos when he took the stuff out of his house and brought it into the other house. Would you think that that's true? So, ask the Gemara, Matkif lo Rav Yitzchak, Bereder of Yura, Elamiata, Chishev lo Tzi, Kol Beito, Achin Ami, Delo Mechayev, Ademafik Vakula. You're telling me if a guy was going to move his whole home and he forgot to take out the contents of the laundry room, he will not be Chayev on Hotzah? How far are you willing to define the nature of the Chashivut based on his mind, despite the fact that he has no awareness of what he's doing, which means that we're not talking about this malacha, we're talking about the meaning of the hotzah, not the malacha of the hotzah. Would you say that that would be true? Answers the Gemara, no, you're right, that's unreasonable. But there is a generally accepted rule for why something like that would be unreasonable. And it would not be a contradiction to our fundamental statement that it is your mind that will define the nature of chashivas. And what is that rule? Botla daite etzel kol adam. There is a, and this is a socially defined kind of thing, by the way. We often find this. So what is considered to be abnormal for somebody else in general, abnormal cannot be asserted by you as being normal. So to say that a guy was motzi 300 items from his house, and he's not going to become chayev on hotzar because it wasn't choshev, is ridiculous. Who in the world thinks that it's not choshev to take a washing machine and bring it from inside to outside? So therefore, that cannot be viewed as a redescription of what the value is of the items that he's taking in and out. And therefore, it will not stand against the general sense of chashivas. But to make something choshev, I mean, certainly, listen, if this was choshev to you, then this was choshev to you. Why not? So you're saying you don't know what the chashivas is? Who cares? We're not coming to do you want to do hotzah? Yes. Is this the shear of hotzah? I don't know. I'm not thinking. That's not the issue. You wanted to do hotzah. You've already defined this as the shear of hotzah. That's the point of the Gemara, which is a completely brilliant and brand new insight into the entire relationship of Hatznah, which Tosfos misses completely. And because of that, the way that he understands the Gemara's Kasha is very, very weak. Because he understands that the Gemara's Kasha was going back on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Meir said, even if you take out just a single wheat, wow, you mean you can be machshev a single wheat? So by the same token, maybe you could be unmachshev anything but a whole house? No. I mean, that doesn't necessarily follow in any way, because you haven't done anything else but being machshev the hotzah, according to Tosfos. So I don't need you to be machshev the hotzah in a case where you're taking out your whole house. Okay, anyway, that is the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos here, and we get some beautiful insights into the structure of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Kol Adam ein chayavim alav ela kishiyuro, but nobody else would be chayav just because I put it aside for that purpose, which would mean that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanya. Kolalom Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'eno kasher la'atzniyah, or ein matzniyin kamohu. And this guy likes it and figures he does have a use for it. V'itzniyo. Somebody else then comes and takes it out. Nitchayav ze b'machshavto shel ze. Now, gentlemen, again, this is marvelous because we already know this, right? From the previous Mishnah in Klal Gadol, where it says, Eino chayav ela hamatzniyah. And over there, the Gemara made exactly the same diuk. Masnisin delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What are we going through this again? But according to Rashi, we're going through it again for a wonderful reason. Because in the case in the Mishnah before, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was merely saying that if somebody believes that this screw is kedai to hold on to, why? Why are you holding on? I don't know why. I just know that these things end up being useful. Now, everyone in the world knows that things end up being useful. The question is whether I'm willing to load down my house like a pack rat with everything that could possibly be useful. I mean, heck, I've got like 4 boxes full of old power supply things that I only finally threw out after 20 years when I had to move now, right? So every one of those power supplies someday would be useful. Can I tell you that they weren't useful? No, they were useful. There were probably 10 times during the course of 15 or 20 years that I found the power supply in there that I didn't have. But for heaven's sakes, I'm certainly not going to load down my house for a $5 power supply just in case I need it, right? Okay. So therefore, if somebody actually does put aside that power supply thing, all right? So maybe for somebody else, it's not kosher. This guy sets aside that screw. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say, look, if you're taking out something from somebody's drawer, where he's put it aside. I mean, things are in a drawer and you're taking them out, so then it doesn't have to be for a particular reason. You would be chayev because this is something that's choshev to people. For Horaya, it's in the drawer. But suppose somebody put that screw aside in order to fix his lawnmower. Now I come and take out that screw without any particular reason in mind. Would Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar even hold that in that case it's considered to be choshev? It's not something that people hold on to. It's something that a guy had a particular use for. So maybe over there, even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would be made of that. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be chayev somebody else who doesn't own a lawnmower like that and has absolutely nothing to do with the screw that fits this guy's lawnmower. Kamash malan, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is not referring to some type of universal usefulness. He's referring to the fact that the person has set it aside. That is what gives it chashivas. A completely new insight into Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So it turns out that a Gemara that seems to be repeating word for word a sugya that was before, and a Mishnah that's repeating word for word a sugya that was before, is saying something entirely new that bears no resemblance to anything we said before. It's absolutely wonderful. Okay. So, and this is normally, remember, this is the derech. First we bring out the klal, so we did that in klal gadol. Now we're back to discussing the insights into the nature of hotzah. Now, one of the most sophisticated dafim in the entire Masechet now comes up based on these new understandings of the interrelationship between my machshava and the shiur of the hotzah, because this raises all types of issues. And Rava brings them out in such a fabulously subtle way that it's just pure poetry. So he starts easy, and he takes you through the subtleties step by step, brilliantly. Omar Rava Amar Rav Nachman. Let me ask you something. A guy was motzi a grogeret, but he has a purpose in this grogeret. He took out a grogeret in order to eat it, which is, of course, the basis of the shear of a grogeret. That's the standard shear of achila, legabi, the chashivas of otzah. And he had a mind to eat it. Now, he didn't have to have a mind to eat it, remember, in order to be chayiv, because we've already established that the purpose that you're taking it out for does not necessarily need to be relevant if something was a standardized shear or if it were mutzna. Then you didn't have to know at the time that you're taking it out for this particular purpose. Okay. In this case, the guy did have a purpose. He took out a grogeret in order to eat the grogeret, which is classic. That's wonderful. The thing that happened in the middle, however, makes it less wonderful. As he's walking along, he says to himself, you know, instead of eating this, maybe I should plant it and not eat it. And so when he comes outside, he sets it down and doesn't eat it. So I say, he's chayev. So I say, well, obviously he's chayev. I mean, I don't need you to tell me he's chayev. Why wouldn't he be chayev? Whether the purpose of the hotzah was for eating or whether the purpose of the hotzah was for planting, you certainly will be doing a hotzah for the shear of a grogeret, because for planting you would only have needed 5 seeds. So isn't that obvious, Rava? Says Rava, not necessarily. I mean, think about it. There's another issue here. And the other issue is, first, let's see the Gemara's Kasha Pshita, Zilachi Kashira, Zilachi Kashira. Whatever your purpose is, it's the same Shira. I mean, it would certainly be Machai of you. No, says Rava, because Ma'udetema, Be'inan Akira Vahanacha Bechodamachsha Vahaleka. Remember, Hotza'ah is not merely about transferring something from one location to another location. Hotza'ah is about removing something, which is akira, like we had back in the first parak, from one location, and then making sure it is properly munach in the other location, which means that the malacha of hotza'ah is actually a complex malacha. Now, if you change your purpose in the middle, can we in fact relate what you picked up for purpose A to what you set down for purpose B? Or is the purpose at that point fundamental to understanding the act of the hotzah? Because, I mean, we're all agreed that even if we didn't have a problem with the shear, that the point that I have in mind to do a malachas hotzah, and I'm going to use that one chita for the purpose, then that would certainly be mechayev of me. So obviously the purpose is part of the akira and part of the hanacha. So how about if you switch purposes? So now, are you willing to even say that the shear is all that counts, even though there is a purpose, and now it's a different purpose, in which case the beginning of the hotzah and the end of the hotzah perhaps is not the same maisa? Wow. I'm telling you that as long as that shear is there, there's no problem. Because in any event, we can look at a hotzah that would have been a hotzah no matter what. All right? You're willing to go along with me on this? Let me take you to the next step, all right? Boy, Rava, here's my problem, my first problem. Suppose you took out only a half of a grow garret, and you took out this half of grow garret in order to plant. Now, if you had set it down at that point, you would have been chayev, right? Because a half a grow garret is far more than is necessary for the shear of planting. So you do a hotzah. However, what happened in this case was that it started to rain. And it rained on the food that you were taking out, and they swelled with the water. Now that they swelled, you realize, you know, there's really enough here to eat. Maybe I should eat it. I think I'll make a picnic. And now you set it down to make a picnic. How about now? Would you say that you would be able to interrelate the Akira, which if the Akira had been done for the purposes of the picnic, which it's now coming out to be the end of the Malacha, you would not have been Chayev, because it was only a Chatzi Grogeret at the time, and making a picnic with a Chatzi Grogeret is not enough to be Mechayev you. So now you no longer have your blithe solution, do you? Because you can't say that if I had done it that way, I would be chayev. It's not true. If I had the machshava I now had at the time that I took it out, I wouldn't have been chayev. What are you going to do now? Do we say, okay, but you did an akira that was part of a meaningful hotzah at the time, because its purpose was for zriya, and then that would be sufficient. And then at the time that you set it down, we've already established that we don't care if it's for a different purpose. And at the time that you set it down, you did have a sufficient shear for that second purpose. So now, can we look at it as a total abstraction? Meaning, the purpose is irrelevant, and the shear is irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is that you have a shear that matches the current purpose. Now you understand that that's taking it a step further. I mean, before this, we understood that a purpose and a shear go hand in hand. But now I'm telling you, no. Let's ignore the particular shear. There is no particular shear. We're defining the shear with basically an algorithm. The shear equals whatever it is that the purpose will be. Whoa. Are you now willing to say that that too is the definition of a single act of hotzah? Come on, guys. Tell me this is not marvelous. Okay? And this is not the end. So, I ask you, would you be willing to say that in this case, okay, the first case you went along with me, there you'd said, yeah, there you'd be chayav. But that's because zilacha ikishiura v'zilacha ikishiura. That's because the original shear, at the time of the original machshava of the hotza'ah, was a correct shear for either type of machshava, and therefore the machshava wouldn't matter. But I mean, in this case, if I would have continued, if I would have taken it out for that purpose initially, it did not have that shear for achila. So kivan de beidna de afka, if I had that in mind when I took it out, I wouldn't have been chayev. Lohavi be shear achila, so then I can't be chayev on a hotzah that is only really a hotzah now. Oh, Dilma. Or do I say, now wait a minute, the entire complication only comes about because of the change of your intent. But we've already established that even if you didn't have any intent, it wouldn't have mattered if originally there had been an intent. So let's say right now you would have shut your stupid mouth. Shotka, you would have shut up. And you wouldn't have changed your mind and decided, you know what, this looks yummy, maybe I should eat it. You just would have continued the original hotzah. Would you have been chayev? Yes. Why? Because the original hotzah had a shear commensurate with the purpose of that hotzah. So I'm not going to say that I've changed the nature of the hotzah just because now I have a different purpose in mind, since you already told me I can get away with a hotzah where the purpose wouldn't have mattered. So maybe kivendilu ishtik velo chisha velav, you would be chayev on the original machshava and the zriya. So that doesn't change. So hashtanami mechayev, you've got a real hotzah. Okay? Are you thinking? Says Rava. So now I got another question for you. Let's assume for a moment that you'd be ready to go along with my last statement. And you would say, yeah, maybe since Kima Deilu Ishtik, if you would have shut up, you would have been chayev on the original Machshava of the Zriya, so you're chayev still now. Okay, Let's say you're ready to say that. I got another question for you. Suppose you took out a krogeret for the purposes of eating. You're walking along with this krogeret and you have not done your hanukkah yet. And you are walking in the sun, and man, is it hot. And you're watching that krogeret getting smaller and smaller, and now there's not enough for you to eat. So now you figure, gosh, so what am I going to do with this krogeret? You know what? I'll plant it. It's got plenty of a shear for planting. So now my question is, Mao. Now, in this case, what are you going to tell me? Well, if you hadn't opened up your big mouth, you would have been chayev on the original machshava. In this case, you would not have been. Because on the contrary, if you hadn't opened up your big mouth, then there would not have been a hotzah, because you never did a hanacha of a krogeret. So now the question is, if you do open up your big mouth, and you now give a purpose to the hanacha of something which was originally an akira for another purpose, but which no longer is meaningful because that shear for that purpose does not exist. Now, says Rava, we have exhausted, haven't we, all of the possible interrelationships between the value of the machshava in the maleches hotzah and the relationship to the shear of the hotzah. Is it simply that a shear is an abstraction that relates to a malacha only because of the terms of the need? It's not really part of the hotzah. Who cares? So I want it. We've already established that two different thoughts of purpose, if it would be the same shear, so that I had the original Gogeret, and now I decide to, that wasn't the problem, you said, because after all, it was the same shear all along. Okay. Maybe the algorithm of a shear means that by definition, there's always the shear. But what do you mean? But it's a different shear. What do you mean a different shear? That's because you happen to know the results of the algorithm in situation A and situation B. Who asked you to know the results? It's basically a quantum computer. There was an algorithm. The solution matched the hotzah. There is an algorithm. The solution matches the hotzah. So then there's a hotzah. Maybe. What would you say? Says Rava. So now you really have got something to chew on over Shabbos, right? Now I got one additional question. My additional question is this. Let's assume that a local situation with an abstraction as an algorithm for a shear is sufficient, so that at each point we look at a local matchup of the act of either Akira or Hanacha with the shear that I don't even know right now. Fine. So we look at it locally. Basar hashta azlina. And therefore you would be chayav. What is the nature of the relationship between those two elements of the akira and hanocha, each one being defined locally? And here's what I'm going to ask you. A guy goes out, he takes out a grogeret for purposes of eating it, okay? He's walking through the desert, and now it's too small. He does not change his mind. But what happens is there's a sudden downpour. Now the rain rehydrates the grogeret, and it's back to the shear of a grogeret, and now he sets it down. Does the entire process have to be one process? Or do we say that the dihui, the fact that it would be impossible, since I didn't change my mind, it would have been impossible to complete this hotzah, means that now we start over. But then that would mean I have an akira without a hanocha, and I have a hanocha without an akira. So what we look at, the relationship of the formula that you spoke about earlier, does the relationship to the formula, is it only meaningful locally? And therefore, whatever happens in between is basically viewed as an instantaneous quantum reaction. Or do we see it as being a step-by-step malacha, which if at any point cannot be concluded, then it wouldn't be a malacha at all, which of course sheds light on all of the previous issues that I've raised. So would we say that there's a concept of dichui, and that you can no longer be chayev on this malacha, or not? Lenient Shabbat. all of the above, teku, put it in your mouth and chew it. Okay. Boy mine rava mi Rav Nachman. Zorek kizaya truma lebayit tameh mao. Now I've got another question. Okay. Here's my question. Something is not important in terms of the standardized shear, but it is important contextually because of the particular circumstances. For instance, you take a kezias of truma, you throw it into a house in which there's a mace. What's the din? What? What's the din for what? What are you talking about, man? What's the din for Shabbos? The din for Shabbos is the shear of Oakland is a gogeret. I mean, were you talking about tuma? The din for tuma is you need a kibetza for tuma sochem. I don't understand what your question is. You don't understand my question. Okay, so here's my question. Of course I'm talking about Shabbos. But the point over here is that there was pochos mi kibetza because I only have the grogeret, right? So I have less than that even. So I have less than a kibetza. Now, I am now throwing it into a house where it falls on top of food that was there. And the little bit of food in the house was less than a kibetza. I'm now throwing this in, and now together we have a kibetza. Now what? Tell me what the din is. Do I say, but you didn't throw a grogeret? That doesn't matter. Because in this particular case, I achieved a completely new situation that defines achila, because at this point, I become chayiv if I eat truma tumea that's mekabel tuma, and it was mekabel tuma if there was a kibetza. Aha! So then that means that when we define the nature of hotzah as being important because of that particular shear, in this case, the shear could be less because it becomes important at the moment that it actually lands. And therefore, maybe it would be linyatuma, it would be mechayev for Shabbos too. Oh, Dilma, or do we say, what is the external issues of achila have to do? This is, by the way Tosfos understands it. What do the external issues of achila have to do with the shear of hotzah? Vis-a-vis Shabbos, either you did take out a grogeret of food or you didn't. Omar Lay, so he said, I got a brilliant solution for you, man. Look at this. Abba Shaul Omer, we have an easy way of deciding this. Abba Shaul Omer, shtei alechem velechem apanim, that the idea is if somebody takes out a piece of the shtei alechem on Shavuos, and it was a Shabbos, or he takes out lechem apanim on Shabbos, and he takes it outside, the shear is still a grogeret for carrying it outside. Now, why do you think that would be true? Why wouldn't we say, now, wait a minute, in the same way that you're asking me that this thing now became chayev for eating because of truma tumea, over here you're going to be chayev to eat it if it's yotzei, right? So we should say that since vis-a-vis the din of kodesh, yotzei, you're chayev in a kezayit. So if you took out the yotzei with a kezayit, so then leinyan Shabbos and ami bekezayit. So you see that we don't say that Shabbos is going to be defined as a new shear because of another issue. Boo. That's a raya. Okay, Ashta. My dear sir, when did it become yotzei? The moment that you walked out of the gate of the Azara. You didn't set it down yet. So what does that have to do with the Shabbos? The Hotzah has nothing to do with the shear of Shabbos. The Hotzah of Shabbos is only when you put it down. So the moment that Afke Chutz L'Chomat Azara, you passed it beyotze. Shabbos, you're only chayev until you when you take it out to Rosh Hashanah. But over here, my question is that it comes instantaneously with the landing on the food in the house of the mace with the truma. So over here, you'd be chayev at the same moment because Shabbat v'tum'ah b'hadi hadadi ka'atya. They become chayev at the same moment. And then continues the Mishnah. If you walk back in and you put it down, you would not be chayev because you changed your mind and now you're like anybody else and now it's less than a shear. So eino chayev ela kishiuro. Isn't that obvious? Omer Abaye, once again, Abaye comes to the rescue and says, no, it is not obvious. Because remember the whole context of this Mishnah. The fact is the guy didn't remember what he took it out for. Right? So now he turns around and he throws it. What happened here is he didn't say, I don't know. I don't even want to use it. That's not what he did. he turned around and he threw it back into storage room, right? Therefore, Achmai is kidding Gugonche Zorko La Otsar. So you would say, okay, so if he threw it in, that means he no longer wants this particular thing from anything. Ah, but no, you see, he throws it in, but it doesn't get mixed in with other things. It lands on the side, and you can see very clearly where it is. So it's on the shelf. Mao de Tema given to Bekomo Nikar. So maybe since this whole thing is basically, you said that Kol HaOsar Dat Rishona HaOsar, right? Now, the guy decides he's not going to do anything with it. He throws it back in. But maybe that's still true. Because if he had thrown it back in just into a pile of junk, and now we'll never be able to find it or note it, you're right. But he didn't do that. It lands on the shelf, and it still is Mekomo Nikar. So maybe the original Machshava still stands. And therefore, it comes to tell us that the very fact that he no longer treats it as if it's needed particularly, and he just threw it into his garage, therefore, he was mevato that machshava, and we no longer will say al dat rishona hu oseh. Oh, Sir Richard!
Whew! Boy, I'm beginning to feel like Schrodinger's cat.
Beautiful. Hamotzi Ochlin. Now we've got another issue, something that wasn't clear before. Somebody takes food, puts it down on an askufa. Now the askufa turns out to be a front porch. This front porch is somewhere from the ground up till 9 tvachim high, as it's going to turn out. And he's got a couple of stairs on this porch going down to Rosh Hashanah. And the lower stair is within 3 tvachim of Rosh Hasharabim, which means that it's lovo to the Rosh Hasharabim and would be bato to Rosh Hasharabim, the lower stair. Now, the guy takes out a sack full of food. He puts it down on the porch. Whether Bein Shechazar V'Hotziyan, whether he himself then goes outside and takes them out the rest of the way, puts them down in the Rosh Hasharabim, or whether somebody else comes along and puts them down, both of them would be potter. Why is that? Because the malacha of Hotzah was restarted, and you did not have a Akira and a Hanocha from Akira from one Rishos and Hanocha in another Rishos, because the fact that it was in a no Rishos, remember that a Carmelite or a Mokum Ptur are midirayza, the same thing, and a no Rishos stops the Hotzah, because it was sitting there. And therefore, since lo asam lachtoba vatachat, you would be potter. Now, how about if the sack was all filled with fruit? You put it down on the lower stair. Some of the sack was still lying on the second stair up, some on the third stair, but most of it was on the bottom. Doesn't matter. Even though most of it was on the bottom, afal pisha rov perot mibachutz, you would be patur ad shiotzi et kol hakupa. Now, there's two ways of understanding this issue. One way of understanding the issue is that hotza'ah is only completed when the thing that you took out of the rishus is fully out of the rishus. And therefore, since over here, some of the box, the package that you had on the upper stair, was not out of the rishos, that means that the entire thing is not a finished hotzah yet. The other way of understanding it is, forget about the box. Look at the contents. Was the food removed from the rishos or not? In which case, it would be a matter of what type of things are in the box. Because, if you've got separate apples, let's say, in the box, then as long as some apples were completely transferred, the fact that there are other apples in this bag would not matter. We're going to be medayik the Mishnah and see that the Mishnah contradicts itself. So, ask the Gemara, first let's define the case, okay? What rishus is this askufa? Is it the rishus harabim? How could an askufa be rishus harabim? Very simple, guys. Remember that we learned in the first parak that if you've got something that is 9 tvachim high, exactly, in Rishus HaRabim, then it's considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. Why? because it's perfect height for putting down your backpack. And therefore, the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim are mikatfim alav. They will always adjust their backpack on it, and therefore, it's a Rosh HaSayochid. So that was our question. When we're talking about you set it down on the Eskufa, maybe you set it down on some type of very convenient pole that was exactly 9 tefachim high, and that was a unique kind of situation where that would be a Din of Rosh HaSayochid. Well, it can't be that, because then why did it say he's putter? He would not be putter. He was mafik mirushut hayachid. If you're talking about it was Rosh HaSarabim, not a Rosh HaSayochid, so then obviously he would have been chayav. So it could not have been talking about the case where we're mevatel the shear of what would normally be a Rishut HaYachid to the Rishut HaRabim because B'nai Rishut HaRabim are mechatvim alav. No. Because then he wouldn't be put. Okay. Because then he would be mafik Rishut HaYachid Rishut HaRabim. Okay, so it's got to be talking about an askufa, which is a Rishut HaYachid. I don't understand. So then if we're talking about a Rishut HaYachid, why, if you picked it up and took it out again, or somebody else did, why would you be potter? You're taking it out from Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim. Who cares if you had to start over? So obviously, the only way to understand this is that we're talking about neither Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim. We're talking about a Mokum Ptur, which has a shear of a Carmelite versus a bit of Rabban, and so on, it's a scoop of Carmelite. And what would then be the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The reason that you would be potter is only because you set it down on your front porch, which was a Carmelite. But if you wouldn't have set it down and you would have walked out of your front door and you would have gone down the porch and gone out into the street, you would have been chayev. Now, that is the Mishnah, not like Ben Azai, because remember, Ben Azai Shita is that in that exact case, which technically is the exact case would be you take something out of a store. You walk along the area where outside of the store, which is called the stau, outside of the store, underneath the stau, they have these booths and everything, which is not a Rosh HaSayochid because there's no mechitza, but it's not a Rosh HaSarabim because people cannot walk there straight. And that is therefore considered to be a Carmelite. And you walk through the stau, and then you walk into the street, and you set down what it is that you bought in the store. The halacha is, according to Ben Azai, that you would be potter, because he says, even though you didn't set it down in the Carmelite, it's still considered to be an interruption between the Akira versus Hayochid and the Hanochan versus Harabim. And even though it's moving, it's considered to be at rest there in the stau. That means that our Mishnah, talking about a case where you had a front porch, which was similar to the stau, la halacha, cannot be going alibet ben azah. Okay, now, what's the case of the bag that you put down on the front porch that was partially on the lower step and partially on the upper stairs? So Chizkiah says, well, I mean, when it's talking about a bag, it's talking about a bag that is filled with these very long cucumbers, 3 feet long, gigantic pumpkins, you know, so that if you didn't take the whole bag out, some of that pumpkin is still inside. Some of that cucumber is still inside. There's not a single cucumber that came outside, okay? But if you'd be talking about a sack that was full of apples or mustard seed, well, of course you'd be chayev, because 300,000 mustard seeds were taken out to Rosh HaSarabim. What do I care about the other 1,697,412 mustard seeds? They're different mustard seeds. So I'm going to be chayev on the ones that I took out to Rosh HaSarabim. Now, when Chizkiah says that, what is it teaching you? That Chizkiah holds that the fact that something is all together inside of a container, so it's in this bag, he holds eged kli. The fact that things are together in a kli does not mean a darn thing. We look at the contents, and it's lo shmei eged. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't care what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about apples or mustard seeds. You'd still be putter. Why is that? Because you didn't take out the entire container, and Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds, eged kli is considered to be eged. Says Rabbi Zera, you know, what's interesting is that the Mishnah doesn't work out really very well according to either of them. It's not medayik like Chizkiah, and it's not meduyik like Rabbi Yochanan either. Take a look over here. It's not meduyik Chizkiah, because what does it say? It says you're not chayev until achiotziat kol akupa. You have to take out the entire bag. What do I have to take out the entire bag? Mashman, if I don't take out the bag, and I took out the fruit inside the bag, then I would still be putter as long as they're still in the bag. Which is clearly saying in the Mishnah that Eged Kli is called Eged. However, that isn't true either. Because it doesn't really work out like Rabbi Yochanan. Because then why did it start off by saying, even though most of the peirot are already outside on the lower step, what's that mashma? Most of the peirot. But if all of the peirot would have been on the lower steps, you would have been chayev. What about the bag? The bag isn't all the way out on the lower step. So then it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yochanan either, because it's saying that Eged Kli actually is Lofshmei Eged. So it doesn't work out like any of them. So how do you explain it? Rabbi Yochanan nami lo deka diktani afa bishrov peirot pachutz, which means only rov peirot, but if it be kola peirot, even though it's inside the bag and the bag is still partially upstairs on the upper stair, it would still be chayev. Apparently, Eged Kli is not Eged. Wait a minute. So what are you telling me? That the Mishnah is a contradiction? So, Elakasha. All right. So then Chizkiah is going to have to explain the Mishnah the way it works out. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to explain the way it works out like him. So Chizkiah is going to say like this. Achiotziat kol akupa. But you need to understand, gentlemen, that this is only if the kupa is melea kishuim v'diluin. But if it would be melea chardal, then, now get back to the Mishnah, then it would be kemi shotzi et kolakupa v'chayav. Then the rov, the peirot, would be, in fact, enough. And that would be the same as doing a normal hotzah. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, you'd be chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even though rov of the peirot are b'chutz, and lo zu af zu, not only rov of the peirot, but the truth is, even if you would take out all of the peirot, so this Mishnah is a lozu afzu Mishnah, you would have to take out the entire kupa before you would be actually chayv. Meisvet. It says if somebody takes out the Avon man's suitcase, which I would assume is filled with 100 different bottles of perfumes and so on, and he puts it on the porch in this fashion, that some of it is on the lower stair and some of it is up, even though most of the bottles, it seems to be saying, most of the minim are outside, you would be potter unless you took out the entire briefcase. Now, we assumed, that we're talking about separately packed perfumes or spices, so then it doesn't make sense according to Chizkiah, because Chizkiah said, even if one of those things is fully outside, you'd be chayav. Or melechah Chizkiah, now wait a minute, you didn't say what type of Avon man he is. He's an urnesi man, meaning that he is selling these long bunches of cinnamon and lavender, but they're long bunches. So it's the whole box or nothing. If you don't take out the whole box, you didn't take out any single thing either. Now here's a brilliant question. It says like this. Somebody steals a money sack on Shabbos, and it's filled with coins. He picks it up and he walks out. Now, when he walked out, he's going to be chayav on Shabbos, and the chayav on Shabbos is a chayav of skila. So it should become lebit arabamine, because you don't pay when you're also chayav on a chayav misa. Nonetheless, you're chayav. Why? Because when you picked it up, you already became chayav on the geneva with the hagbaha. And for Shabbos, you were only chayev when you set it down in the other rishas. So therefore, they don't come at the same time. The chayev geneva came first, and you're still going to have to pay and before they shoot you. So that would be in one case. But suppose you were dragging this bag of money, right? You never lifted it up. So then you would only be kone it for the geneva after you removed it from the rishas of the baalim. So when you drag it out of the Rishus HaYochid and you put it into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, where you can have a kinyan, but it still has a din of Rishus HaRabim, then you would be potter on the Geneva, because the kinyan of the Geneva came at the same exact moment that you did the Hanochid Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos, and therefore Isser Geneva ve'Isser Shabbat bo'in ke'echad. Now, I got you. Because if you're going to tell me that Eged Kli is considered to be Eged vis-a-vis Isser Shabbos, when would you be over on the Isser Shabbos? Only when you dragged out the entire bag. But the money in the bag was already in the other Rishos, or at least some of it was. So why aren't you Chayev on that Geneva, which you took out of the Rishos of the Bialim, and that you were Kona? Because this din of Eged Kli is only a Nogea, the issue of whether you did the complete Hotzah. It has nothing to do with Geneva. In which case, Kodim Le'isa Geneva Le'isa Shabbos. Ha ha. So you see from here that Eged Kli is not Shmei Eged. No. Come on. The truth is that if you had dragged this bag out with its mouth facing you, so then you're right, because then you could have gotten the money out of it, and therefore you would be koneid. Ida afke derech piv, ochi nami, for sure, it would be exactly as you said. I would have been chayev at that moment. But it's talking about over here that I was afke derech shulav. I was dragging it from the bottom. Since I cannot get the money out of it until I'm going to actually pick it up and lift it around, so I still am not kona that money until I got the entire thing out of the rishos. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, what about the place where it's got these stitches? You know, you can always stick your hand in there and pull out a little bit. I mean, it's not that tight, is it? Diboy mafkele v'shakil. Well, it's talking about over here that we had these long pieces of silver. So it's benazka. So as long as some of it is inside, I didn't take it out. But wait a minute. If you're dragging this thing, and as you know, tomorrow's Mishnah in Kalim talks about a money bag that has shnatzim. So that's obviously what we're going to have to deal with now. So since it has shnatzim, these shnatzim are these pull draw cords. And if you're pulling it now from the bottom, right? So then the draw cords are going to be sticking into the other rishos. And then if you're telling me that Eged Kli Shmei Eged, then that's going to prevent it from being Chayev on Shabbos, even if you got the mouth outside and you were kona the money. Always is kedai to be learning Kalim when you're learning Shabbos. So in that case, why would you say it's at the same time? So then he could take it out until just to get the mouth open, and open that up, take out the money, meanwhile leaving the schnutzim back inside, and then he would still be put on the Shabbos. Okay, man, we're not talking about drawstrings, all right? Get Kalim out of your mind. There are no drawstrings. Okay. I mean, but what do I do about Kalim? All right, so maybe there are drawstrings, okay? Imba Isema, there were drawstrings, but he wrapped the drawstrings around the bag. Now you're happy, it's a regular money bag, a Kalim money bag, but the drawstrings aren't stuck in the other shoes. Can we just please get rid of the drawstrings from your mind? So, Mikra Chayeluya. Now, Rav and Abaya seem to have the same issue. V'chein Amar Rav, lo shanu ala bekupa malea kishuim v'dluim. Avo Malea Chardal, you'd be Chayev. So Rava holds Eged Kli is not called Eged, because as long as one of those apples got out, it's already enough to be Chayev you. Rabbiya says, I don't care, even if it's full of Chardal, you'd be Potter, even if you took out 100,000 of them, because it's still in the bag. And Eged Kli is Shmei Eged, which means that they argued in exactly the Machlokas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. And the only thing was that Abaya ended up being persuaded by Rava that Rava was right, and Rava ended up being persuaded by Abaya that Abaya was right, so they both changed their mind. And we still have the machlokas, but they're now in opposite sides. So come Abaya b'shitasi to Rava, and come Rava b'shitasi to Abaya.